This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. Good evening, this is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show, especially for the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe one country at a time. A big thank you to JJ for the hits and Richard with us each and every week with the latest in local news. I'm here in the studio. Paul's here tonight.
Hello.
And I'm Matt. Now, it's coming up to Mardi Gras time and very soon a cavalcade of buff beauties from around the world will be parading through the streets and gay nightclubs of Sydney. Some will have spent months preparing with gym sessions, crash diets, spray tans, and skimpy yet sparkly outfits. It's what Mardi Gras has become world famous for, isn't it? What are the dangers of taking body image to excess?
How has social media changed the way that we see ourselves and see each other?
Internationally, how does Australia compare in the physical appearance stakes?
Shaking the post-workout protein shakes with us tonight. We are shortly to be joined by in the studio by Dr. Scott Griffins from the Physical Appearance Research Team in Melbourne, the School of Physiological Sciences at the University of Melbourne.
This is Douglas.
And this is Paula.
From Kaleidoscope Australia Human Rights Foundation, keeping a watchful eye on LGBTI rights across Asia and the Pacific.
On the World Wide Wave.
Olivia Neutron there, getting physical.
Olivia Neutron Bomb, we used to call her.
You might have over here, but we didn't.
You were too polite.
You were too polite. Yeah.
We're talking all things body image tonight, so what a great song to have in there. You can send us your messages on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Had a message after last week's show, actually, on Facebook from Hoffler, because we were talking about multicultural and multi-faith issues, particularly within Australia's LGBTI community. And he said, a fantastic day to speak on this issue with the return of Hakim to Australia. Human Rights One. Thank you, Hoffler. We agree.
And don't forget, people can listen to that show on the podcast.
On the podcast at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or your favourite podcast program. We're joined in the studio tonight by Dr. Scott Griffiths from the Physical Appearance Research Team at the University of Melbourne. That's a wonderful title. Welcome, Scott.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What does the Physical Appearance Research Team do?
We look at how physical appearance manifests in people's lives. So rather than looking at what attracts us to other people, I look at how people navigate their own appearance, the way it makes them feel poorly or good, and how they navigate all different characteristics like their skin color or their age or the wrinkles on their face or the various discriminations that people might leverage toward them based on how they look, all of that.
And the reason we came across you is because you've got a study that's just starting called the Gay Bodies Worldwide Survey. Perfect time to be launching it, Mardi Gras kicking off. You know, it's just the epitome of looking at that, the extra effort that people put in around body image. Was that intentional?
It was semi-deliberate. I didn't quite realise it would be so close, but it turned out to be a very fortunate coincidence, yeah.
How big an issue is body image in the gay and bisexual community, I guess?
Well, in a sense, we're going to find out. But from what I can tell and from what the research suggests, it's quite a substantial issue. And certainly when men find themselves in our studies and or in my office, it seems to me that there's a great deal of appearance pressure. And yet when you look to the research or for guidance on how to do clinical work with men who have these concerns, there's extraordinarily little. And
it all used to be about women. It used to be about models on the catwalk and anorexia. And how did it sort of creep into the male domain?
Well, you're absolutely right. Eating disorders for a very long time were just considered the exclusive afflictions of women and young girls. And I think that's probably why they have been so underfunded for such a long time, because they were relatively easy to dismiss as just girls and women's concerns. And fast forward to today, and the funding situation is getting better. But what you have is a body of research that was developed and evaluated almost exclusively with women. And if you're willing to accept that the types of bodies that men and women covet are different, and what attracts them to each other is different, and the sorts of dieting and behavior and drugs they might take to achieve the body they want is different, then the research has to be different. You can't assume that what works for women will generalize to men. And that's why you need research like Gay Bodies Worldwide.
So has there been some research done previously, and where was that done?
We ran a pilot, actually, called Gay Bodies, which was just in Australia. And we also launched that through Grindr. And that was in 2017. And it was, like most of our research up until now, quite a small pilot study. And we thought, if we're lucky, we'll get around 100 people who respond and tell us what's going on with their bodies and their appearance. And we hit 100 people in about 22 minutes,
wow,
which was extraordinary. And really let us know that this is not some isolated problem experienced by a few. There's something serious going on here.
Or we just like talking about ourselves, but
which is fine by me. I'm a psychologist, and the more people who are willing to tell me things about themselves, the better.
And was it a diverse group? I mean, were they all trying to achieve the body perfect, ripped abs, or was it a
No. No, their desires for their bodies were entirely diverse. There were older men who were thinking of having Botox because the wrinkles on their face they thought might be a liability in their workplace. There were young men who lamented looking young and thought that if they bulked up, people might take them a little more seriously in the workplace. There were men who felt too short and didn't feel respected in their friend groups because of that. There were men who were not the dominant skin color. They weren't white and felt discriminated against because of that, and it made them pay more attention to their skin, and they would think about skin lightening, all manner of things. But the problem with pilot studies like that one was you could only scrape the surface and only measure people one time. This time we're going global and we're going to measure people 10 times over 5 years. I want to see how people change.
Some of those things you've mentioned are, I don't want to say they're minor, but I guess there's always a line with body image of what is improving yourself, what is being fit, what is, you know, maintaining a healthy lifestyle versus taking something to excess. What are the dangers of overstepping that line?
First of all, I'm really glad you mentioned the line, because it's not the case that if you want to look better or be in the gym and lift weights, whatever, that you intrinsically have a problem. You don't. But if you overstep the line, if it becomes a preoccupation, then the consequence can be day in, day out misery. You might just feel so terrible about your appearance that it impacts on your day-to-day quality of life. It might impact your relationships, your intimate sexual relationships. It can manifest as all sorts of things that otherwise, if you didn't have them, you would feel a lot happier. And that is my principal concern.
And even, I would imagine, with some people, it would actually spiral downwards, that it could then take them into a space of taking drugs or steroids if they wanted to bulk up in a certain way, or really unhealthy behaviours.
Absolutely. We have needle and syringe services all around the country, and if you want to get drugs to inject yourself with, then we'll give you equipment to do so. It's a great service. We just ask, what was the last thing you injected? And the proportion of individuals who say, hey, the last thing I injected was anabolic steroids, that's been the number one reason among new injection drug users for the past 6 or 7 years. And it's just flying under the radar. And the idea that Australia has this influx of wannabe athletes is preposterous to me. They're by and large young men who don't like the way they look and want to use steroids to bulk up and get bigger.
We're going to talk a bit more about the pressures that sort of lead to that, but you brought up that sort of issue of bulking up because I saw a term that I'd not heard before, bigorexia.
Yes.
Have I got it right?
Yes.
What is bigorexia?
A good starting point to understand bigorexia is like reverse anorexia. So say for a moment that you are a young girl and you desire to look like how we encourage young women to look, the conventional body ideal, which is thin and skinny. Then you might diet to try and lose weight. You might restrict very severely what you eat. You might use laxatives and diuretics to try and lose weight. And if that carries on for long enough, we call it anorexia nervosa. But let's say you're a young man and the type of body that you covet for yourself is not thin and skinny. You're invested in the conventional male ideal body that's lean and muscular. Well, you are probably not completely restricting your diet. The exercise you're doing is probably different. You're probably not abusing laxatives and diuretics. If you'll take a drug to try and get that body, it'll be anabolic steroids. And sure, you can't starve to death from eating a high protein diet, but certainly it can impart a whole load of misery for you. And unless you point your research apparatus in that direction, if you assume that young men in this country want to be thin and skinny, that's the ideal body they want, you will miss that.
We have a heap more questions for you. Our guest is Scott Griffiths from the Physical Appearance Research Team at the University of Melbourne. We are talking gay body image on Joy 94.9.
This is Nikki from Canada, where everybody can get married. You're listening to the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
just broken, I was shattered. I trusted you so much, you're all that matters. You know all the love me and I sang like a sad bird. I couldn't move on and I think you were flattered. Oh, life's about joy, life's about pain. It's all about forgiving and the will to walk away. I'm ready to be loved and loved the way I should. Life's about to get good. The longer my tears fell, the wider the river. It killed me that you'd give your life to be with her. I had to believe that things would get better. It was time to forget you forever. About pain, it's all about forgiving and the will to walk away. I'm ready to be loved and loved the way I should. Life's about to get good.
With Shania Twain, life's about to get good.
Life's about joy. That's where we are. Joy 94.9. I know. Shania loves us. We are talking all things gay body image tonight. We've had we posted a photo earlier on Facebook before the show to let you know what was on tonight's show. Richard has asked, is that a selfie of me? No, Richard, it's not. My body does not look like that. But thanks for that. And Melina's come in on 0427 Joy 949. Welcome back, everyone. The elephant in the room, from my observation, has been racism amongst gay men. I can't wait to see the findings of this extensive survey. We are a very complex group of people with unique preferences and sometimes very high standards. Thanks for that, Melina. I'm going to come to you with that one, Scott, because you are actually racism... does come into the survey in some way?
Absolutely. Yep. We ask people what their skin colour / skin tone is. We ask what their ideal skin tone and skin colour is. We ask about people's experiences of discrimination based on the colour of their skin, including explicitly on dating and hookup apps, because as your caller noted, one of the first things we heard as feedback was about the oftentimes quite horrific discrimination occurring on that basis on dating and hookup apps. So we will have data that speaks directly to that.
We actually had an interview about 3 or 4 weeks ago, it was a midsummer show, Queer Asians Anonymous, and exactly that sort of thing, the very blatant sexual racism. And we were sort of trying to ask, you know, is that decreasing? Is there, you know, is there any good news? And sadly, the answer was really no.
And it actually came up in the multicultural, multi-faith show last week. So it's still there. It's still happening.
Given that you're... Because the primary way people are going to find out about this survey is through Grindr.
Yes.
So they'll see an ad on Grindr and be invited to be part of the survey. Is Grindr part of the problem?
Arguably, all dating and hookup apps are part of the problem. At least to Grindr's credit, my sense is that they are aware of it and trying to do something. Whether it rises to the level it needs to is probably not. I think that would be my answer.
Hmm. Some of the topics that it seems to be a pretty extensive survey, body preference and what they're attracted to. So this is people's preference for a body type, might be weight, might be height, all those sorts of things.
I have to confess that the focus of gay bodies worldwide is less about body preferences for others as it is for your body preferences people have for themselves. And that just reflects the sort of clinical psychology background of myself and the research team. We want to know how people navigate their own feelings about their bodies, not what attracts them to others per se.
Right. Okay. So that makes more sense then. And that sort of leads into those personal things that people can change, i.e. like if I want to bulk up, then I'm going to take steroids.
Sure. Exactly.
Cosmetic surgery. Is that a big thing in the gay community?
Well, in a sense, we'll find out as well. But reading market reports from various professional societies that represent plastic surgeons in Australia and the United States in particular, gay men are one of the, as they would describe it, hottest target markets. And that caught my attention because there is absolutely zero research on plastic surgery within the gay community. And there are some really fundamental questions there that are worth asking. Like, if you have a plastic surgery today, do you feel the same way you did before you had the surgery 3 years from now? Or are you happier? Is it retained? If you have one, do you then go and have more? Does it actually improve your quality of life?
That's the stereotype, isn't it? That once you start, you just keep on going.
Yes. And there is a psychological disorder. It's called body dysmorphic disorder. And one of the cardinal features of that is you are so preoccupied with your appearance, some defect that you think you have that others don't seem to see, but you're convinced that you have it. And you go and you see a plastic surgeon, and if they don't do their due diligence, they will take your money and you will get that surgery. And we've come across individuals who've had tens and tens of surgeries, spent their life savings and maxed out their credit cards in the pursuit of a body and an appearance that they will never be happy with. And we can actually produce data from gay bodies worldwide to advocate against that, to force plastic surgeons and professional societies that represent them to do adequate and appropriate screening.
Well, the study also look at body art and the preference for tattooing and piercings.
Tattooing and piercings are something I actually want to include in the second wave. So they're not in this first wave because there is a whole bunch of important demographic details we need to get, like people's age. Obviously, don't have to ask that again in 6 months' time. And yes, tattooing is absolutely on that list.
Social media. What part does social media play in driving this need in some people, this need to self-improve beyond the norm?
I think what social media gives for people who might have a vulnerability to feeling badly about their appearance is a source of comparisons that never ends. You can just compare yourself against fitness models and against your friends and against people you may never meet. And in social media, It really is a carousel that has no endpoint. And before the advent of social media, that perhaps wasn't possible. You could not be in bed on your mobile phone at 12:30 doing that endless scroll, that mindless scroll where you look at the bodies of people that you think are better and you come out on the negative end again and again and again. And I promise that process eats away at people.
And the reverse of that, the people that didn't used to be able to get an audience, they weren't able to put themselves out there and take all the gym selfies and share it around. Now they have an audience.
Yeah.
And people actively grow to become an influencer and, you know, build those audiences.
Yeah. And it becomes another domain that you're expected to excel in. Like, if you feel your body's always on display, if those sorts of, you know, appearance displays are what everyone's doing on social media, you have to live up to that. You have to be in that fight, that contest as well, especially if you're a young gay man and you don't perhaps have the frame of reference or the breadth of experience to think that you can step outside that contest.
Does this also... I would think that this also plays a part in either inclusion or exclusion from community, from the LGBT community. So that feeling that I don't fit in, or, you know, if you get back to the tribes thing where you've got the bears and you've got the twinks and you've got the blah, blah, blah. Is that something that you think you will see as an issue of exclusion from community?
Yes. And I've already had a great deal of feedback around what's being described to me as like an appearance tribalism, where gay men of certain appearances are given access to certain privileged spaces that other men can't access. And those tribes seem to be quite enforced. And that is something I think is touched upon in this first wave, but we will look at it in a lot more depth in the second.
Is there a reverse side of that, of the people who want to be a bear and therefore put weight on or something? I don't know.
Well, exactly. And questions like that deserve not just a few items in a questionnaire. It's something that we need to build out and do properly. That's why I think it will wait for the second wave.
And given that social media is such a big influencer, do you think that this is a bigger issue in younger people than older?
That is another great question, and one that I'm very happy to let the study speak to, because the focus is always on...
We're going to get you back every 2 years for 10 years, you know?
Well, I would be more than thrilled, truly. The focus is on young people, and for good reason. They often are more vulnerable, as far as we can tell, but what if the issue is that no one has asked a 50-year-old gay man how you feel about your body, or what it's like to be aging and to feel like you're losing your competitive edge in the workplace and to be staring down the barrel of maybe having plastic surgery, but it conflicts with your views of whether that's a good or bad thing to do, because we ask about that, perceptions of the morality of having plastic surgery. And I think those questions are worth asking, because everyone should be represented. That's the whole point of sending out 3.5 million advertisements, to get everyone.
Our guest tonight is Dr. Scott Griffiths from the Physical Appearance Research Team at University of Melbourne. Scott, coming up, we're going to ask you a bit more about the international aspects of this research, because this is a local university that's taking the study to the world. You're on World Wide Wave.
This is Ryan Reed from the International Gay Rodeo Association, saddling up with World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
with some rumours there from Adam Lambeth. I'm telling him not to listen to the rumours.
Don't listen to rumours. No, bad rumours. Messages 0427 joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. Thanks 317. Great to hear from you. Fantastic study. Tribes already exist, as we already saw with the ridiculous policy at Poof Doof here in Melbourne. This research will also be of interest to many sociologists as well. So the Poof Doof story, this is the one where they briefed their photographers not to take photos of, you know, skinny boys, and they were not wanting women to come in the club, all that sort of stuff. They did retract that and say that was an old policy and they don't do that anymore. But it does highlight that there's something there that is quite quite in your face. It's quite matter of fact. It's become ordinary and acceptable.
I agree. And that's an example of an overt appearance discrimination. Who's to say how much covert discrimination is going on that doesn't make media headlines, and that hopefully the people who participate in our study and give us their time will let us know about.
Now, this is an international study. It's going to be massive. You're taking in Australia, Canada, UK and America.
Yes.
Has anybody done this before?
Well, I'm not aware of anyone. I've certainly claimed to be the first, so I kind of hope no one listening proves me wrong.
You can keep that claim until someone disproves it.
They're all white, Western, yes. Wealthy countries.
Yes.
Any reason why we're... I would expect that you might get different results if you picked up some countries in Asia in there, for example.
I completely agree. The reason for focusing on those countries, because they're Western and they are Western, is because the entire suite of measures we have, the instruments that let us know how people are feeling about their bodies, these have all been essentially developed and validated with English-speaking individuals from Western contexts. And that is one of the many ways that we are privileged in research in these contexts. And to go and run gay bodies worldwide in a country in Asia, for example, it will be hubris to walk in there with measures developed in a Western context and assume from the start that they even measure what you think they measure. So what is a more sensible and safe and validating approach is to not do that, to say if you want to go and run this study in a place that's different from the Western context, you do it properly. You translate all your instruments, you back translate them, you make sure they work, you make sure everything is exactly relevant to the context you're going to before you do it. And I tell you what, if this study works and it seems to be working, that is exactly what we'll be seeking funding to do.
You're pushing a snowball. You're kicking it off.
Exactly.
Where do you think Australia sits in comparison to these countries? Have you formed a hypothesis?
I won't be surprised if there's not too much of a difference in overall body image concerns between the countries. I think we might see some differences in things like anabolic steroids based on, you know, various levels of judiciary punishment that's leveled towards steroid users in the various countries, different ideas about plastic surgery. And in particular, in the US, it seems that plastic surgery and cosmetic procedures are much more popular, much more available. They're also cheaper. So we might see something there. But who knows? I could be completely wrong about that. We might find that Australia is indeed a hotspot for a great many body image problems.
Do you think... will you be able to sort of look at city versus country regional type, like that sort of analysis?
Absolutely. And
that
we can get quite fine-grained to the sort of areas that people live in at a postcode level. And, for example, what we can show already is that the concerns you have about your body image are at least weakly correlated with latitude and with your distance from the coast. I don't think it's a coincidence that a lot of the places where you have a great deal of steroid use and of bodybuilding competitions are coastal. They're on beaches in tropical areas, whether it's Muscle Beach in California or Gold Coast in Australia. And it could be that people move there for those pursuits, or It could be that if you live in a place where it's warm and everyone has as their hobby going to the beach and generally having their body exposed, that you feel more poorly about your body and then sort of have to compete or at least think about it. And I mean, that's compelling, because if you can show that, then you can have targeted public health campaigns that go to where people need them.
That's probably the final thing, is play this forward for 10 years, you're 10 years older. What are you hoping that this study has actually achieved?
Well, at the very least, I'd like to give people the ability to articulate answers to questions that are about their appearance and that are important to them or important to the people they love. If you have someone, say, let's say your boyfriend is exceptionally distressed about his muscularity and he's 22. Well, if Gay Bodies Worldwide works, we can say, hey, on average in 5 years' time, it gets better. Maybe it gets better if you do nothing, or, you know, don't have that plastic surgery, because actually no one feels better 5 years after they have it. So save your money, don't do it. I think the value of research is that you can actually answer questions like that, the questions that run through people's heads or that they seek answers to, and that would be a fine contribution by my standards.
It's a very exciting study. It's an international study emanating here from Melbourne. How do people access it?
For now, the only way to access the study is by clicking on one of the advertisements in Grindr. And if you see one, please tell us your thoughts. Even if you're completely fine with your body, I want to know. And once that is done, once those advertisements are complete, we will open the study to everyone.
And the ads will mention the Gay Bodies Worldwide survey.
They say Gay Bodies Worldwide, or they ask, do you think about your appearance? Or do you think about how you look? They make it clear what's going on.
Excellent. Thank you very much for coming in and sharing these insights. And we will have you back to monitor this as it goes along. Dr. Scott Griffiths from the Physical Appearance Research Team at the University of Melbourne. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Katie May, proud crossdresser and author of the book Men Can Wear Dresses Too, speaking from London on the World Wide Wave.
I remember that interview actually with our crossdresser from London, and the feelings that he had when he was dressed and the changes it made inside. Great reflection on tonight's show. Good choice of promo.
I'd just
there.
Like to mention that, I don't know if anyone noticed, but the promos and the songs are all from the same country.
Oh, you're too clever. Even I didn't get that one. A big thank you to our guest tonight, Dr. Scott Griffiths from the Physical Appearance Research Team at the University of Melbourne. Participate in the survey. Click on the ads on Grindr, Gay Bodies Worldwide.
We'd like to thank everyone for those interacting with us on Facebook. Now that's W3Joy, no excuse, it's very easy to find. So that's Jordan, Virginia Hope, Danny and William, and there's a heap more. So again, W3Joy on Facebook.
And all those messages coming on SMS, our podcaster Alex, social media Master Dean. We've got a special coming up after us tonight, Into the Groove, a podcast-only show that we're going to share with you, give you a taste, whet your appetite, and we'll be back with more shows. We've got Angola and Kenya coming up. Lots more here on Joy, and some music to take us out.
I'm too sexy.
Are you saying that to me?
Yes.
<We're> Catch all too you next sexy. Week on World Wide Wave.
I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts. I'm too sexy for the man. Too sexy for the man. New York and Japan. So sexy it hurts. I'm too sexy for Milan. Too sexy for Milan. New York and Japan. I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts. I'm too sexy for your party. Too sexy for your party. No way I'm disco dancing. I'm a model, you know what I mean. And I do my little turn on the catwalk. Yeah, I'm a catwalk. I'm the catwalk, yeah.
my little tush on the catwalk. Too sexy for my head. Too sexy for my head. Too sexy for my head. Cause I'm a model, you know what I mean. I'd like to do my little turn on the catwalk. Yeah, on the catwalk. Yeah, on the catwalk. Yeah, I shake my little tush on the catwalk. Walk.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 Eastern Australia time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.